Pick up Psalm number 258. Saying, He hideth my soul.
Rivers of pleasure I see.
sing one more. Sing number 256. Just come back one page. Sing "It Is Well With My Soul." In you and your word, because your word is sure. Father, Lord, this morning I ask, Lord, that you would meet needs, speak to our hearts, Lord, as message is brought, a Lord, that you meet that special need, Lord, that is in the hearts, Lord, this morning. And we pray, God, that you would, those that listen by way of live stream, Lord, that they would also receive the blessing from the message for today. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. You want to, we'll sing one more. We canceled this special today because somebody that we would know would love to be in the group is not here. So we'll sing one more song, then let's sing Stepping Into the Light, 313, okay? 313, Stepping in the Light. Let's pick up the first and third and last stanzas. 313.
Music. You know what I mean? Driving through the mainland, hear that good stuff just to keep you awake. You don't need pep pills or drugs. You just listen to good music like that. You stay awake. Speaking of driving like that, I've got a couple ladies here from Alaska, Fairbanks. Did Sarah send you our way? Sarah Burley?
No.
Okay, good, good, because. Okay, good, good, because I always associate Fairbanks with Sarah Burley, and if you don't know her, you're in good hands. Yes.
Oh, yeah, you go to my church.
Okay, all right, good.
That's
yeah, that's the connection there. Yeah, okay. Sarah's a mess, you know. Yeah, we got to take a picture with my wife so that we'll know, she'll know that you came here. We're glad to have you visiting today. Let's see here. Victoria, last week, I was talking to Victoria at the church, and she has just begun university again, another year, and so going for her degree. And she's very busy. And I said to her, not in lecturing tone, but just in, encouragement, I said, well, you're real busy. Oh, I'm so busy. I said, well, it's good to make the church. I said, you need to be in church. She says, oh, yes, church is so good to come. I feel so good when I come to church. She said, all the heavy load she's taking academically and also teaching, she says, it's so good to be in church, get away from that, and also to get a spiritual refreshment. She said that. And that's what I was going to say to the guys, but I forgot that part, but I just remembered it. And so it is good to be in church, isn't it? Amen. Oh, you Presbyterians, I tell you. But, you know, this thing about transgender and all that kind of stuff. Somebody said this, I too was once trapped in a woman's body until I was born.
Amen.
Did you not catch that? Let me say that again. I too was once trapped in a woman's body till I was born. You know, this way, pay attention. That's a good truth right there.
Yes.
That was said by an actor who plays, he's a Christian, and Kung Fu Man, Holly Guy, White Man.
Chuck Norris.
There's a picture of him in that picture. I don't know if he originated that, but I thought that was pretty good for you to know. And that's a blessing to know that, trapped in a woman's body. We all were, until we were born. I have something else to tell you this morning. We need to remember that we need God in our lives. Once again, I'll tell you that God doesn't need your talent. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need you. You're not that important. But you need God in your life.
Amen.
And if you give God your life, He will use your talent. He'll use everything that you have to offer and that He gave you in the first place.
Yeah.
But don't ever think that you are God's gift to God. In a way you are, but really, this attitude of you're important, you're special, you're indispensable, can't do without you. Don't ever think that way. You and I cannot do without God in our life. True? And if you come to that place where you think you're that great, you're important, then you're headed for a fall. We need God in our lives every day. Without me, you can do nothing, he said. And so we need to trust him with all that we have, all that we are, and trust him to take care of all of our needs. Some folk are still sick. Some folk have some pending surgery. Little David is pending surgery, maybe two. And so keep little David in prayer. Keep Kristen in prayer. She's got a lot on the face. Homeschool started for them last week. And so with all that going on, there's health concerns, and Sandy's sick today, so do pray for all of them and others that you know about too. And it's amazing how much other Christians depend on your prayers for daily sustenance and daily, another day to face, another day to go through. So whenever you get the prayer list on Wednesdays, take that and then whisper a prayer throughout the day. Pray to Mike. Talked about being a good steward of your time last week. Perhaps you could pray for your Christian friends in church and others when you're at a stoplight. Perhaps you could think about someone to mention in prayer and ask God to give them strength. Sometimes we get the mistaken idea that we have to kneel to pray all the time. You can pray while you're doing dishes. You can pray while you're driving, especially while you're driving. You can pray doing other things. You can multitask. And because God is who He is, He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're praying. And redeem the time by praying about things. Okay? You never know how much that means to other people. Sometimes that is the only difference that they can feel or experience because you pray for them. All right? So never think you're wasting your time at a stoplight or some small task that you're doing. Okay, so we need Him all the time. And we're glad that He is a God who knows all of our thoughts. He knows all of our intentions. And He knows our tomorrows. Another thing I'd like to just say to you before I step down is that you can never promise somebody else that this is going to happen tomorrow. You should make plans, but you never know if it's going to come true. Death happens suddenly. for different reasons. Today is the 21st year of 9/11. Nobody thought on that day something's going to happen. Maybe a few did. But generally speaking, those who went to work did not realize that was their last day on this earth. And so, you know, James talks about this. You rather say, if the Lord will. And it is true, if the Lord will. But sometimes we get kind of ultra-spiritual by saying, well, you want to play tennis today? Well, if the Lord wills. I mean, you know, sometimes we get too carried away. But what church should I wear today? Well, I don't know, I'll pray about that. Sometimes we don't have to do that. Okay? So we need to be careful not to get extreme. But really, we don't know what tomorrow holds. So we boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not a day brings forth. We trust God for that. So the lesson is today, today, today's Sunday. Then you live for the Lord today, right now. After service is over, whatever you do, enjoy your day, but make your life a blessing to somebody else. Monday comes around, same thing. Live one day at a time. Jesus says, today I must walk, and tomorrow. So therefore, we live our lives one day at a time. And pretty soon you know it, you're looking back, wow, where did my life go? Went by so fast. You know, last week I was just 35 years old. What are you smiling for? And all of a sudden, you're not 35 years old, you're 60 years old. Well, and beyond. Okay. I was talking to Arb before Sunday school, and I said, Arb, you comb your hair a different way, you part your hair a different way. He says, my hair is so long. I said, yeah, but you got a lot of hair. That's good. And pretty soon you won't have any hair. And that'll be good too. Now, if you really love him, you still love him when he has no hair on his head. Okay? You'll still be proud of your dad when he has no hair on the top of his head. All right. Well, Mike is teaching in today and going through topical studies alphabetically. And so where are you today, Mike?
T.
T. What does T stand for? What possible lesson can you learn from the letter T? We'll find out. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And yes, you are about to find out. Letter T, I'm going to bring you a lesson on tongues. Tongues. What does the Bible say about tongues? Speaking in tongues. That is something that we hear a lot of when it comes to other churches. If you're familiar with some of these other churches who place a strong emphasis on speaking in tongues. Is speaking in tongues in the Bible? Yes, it is. Is it in the New Testament? Yes, it is. Is it mentioned in Paul's epistles? Yes, it is. Church age doctrine. Do we speak in tongues in this church?
No.
Biblically speaking, like they did in the Bible? We don't. Why not? Are we not Bible believers? Do we not believe the Bible? Do we not believe the whole Bible? Yes, we do. Well, then why don't we speak in tongues if tongues is in the Bible? Huh. Or maybe we don't have the gift of tongues. Maybe we haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Let's find out, because there's a lot of controversy about the gift of tongues or speaking in tongues and what tongues is and what tongues is not and who's supposed to be speaking in tongues. Did you know, and I heard this just recently that, I've heard this before and I know this, but somebody recently told me that somebody was teaching this person and other people that if you do not speak in tongues, then that means that you do not have the Holy Spirit. Or you have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And this particular teacher was teaching a class saying that every Christian should speak in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues as a Christian, something is wrong. Now, if you lead that to its logical conclusion, the teaching that you haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit, or even that you don't even have the Holy Spirit because you don't speak in tongues,
Did you know that that is actually saying, in essence, that that person is not saved?
Right.
If you carry it to its logical conclusion?
Yes.
Yeah. Go to, keep your place in Acts chapter 2, but real quickly, go to Romans chapter 8. How can somebody say that you don't have the Holy Spirit just because you do not speak in tongues? Romans chapter 8, look at verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. The Spirit of Christ, right there, capital S. That's another title for the Holy Spirit. It's capitalized. If you don't have, look at verse 16. The Spirit, capital S, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you are not saved. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Every New Testament believer has the Holy Spirit. In fact, every New Testament believer has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I might be getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I want to make sure I cover this just in case I might forget it or run out of time. This is very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, did you know that this is not water baptism? Be careful not to automatically assume that when you see the word baptism in the Bible, don't automatically assume that it's water baptism, because it's not always water baptism. Sometimes it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit, it doesn't say by the pastor, it doesn't say by water, it says for by one Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, for by one Spirit are we all. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He's including himself with all the Corinthians. And guess what? A lot of the Corinthians were carnal. They were not spiritual Christians. They were backslidden and had all kinds of problems in their life. Yet Paul said that they were still baptized by the Holy Spirit. Let's read the entire verse. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the body of Christ, made up of all New Testament believers, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now look at verse 30, same chapter. We already established that every Christian is baptized by the Holy Spirit and has the Holy Spirit. Verse 30, have all the gifts of healings? Of healing? No, they don't. That's a rhetorical question. The way the question is phrased, the answer is already implied. He's making a statement by asking a question. Have all the gift of healing? What's the answer? No. Do all speak with tongues? What's the answer? What's the implied answer? No. 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 The whole context of this is the body of Christ. Different members have different functions and different roles in the body of Christ and different gifts. And so not everybody speaks with tongues. Not everybody is supposed to speak in tongues. God has not given everybody the gift of tongues. Yet everybody has been baptized by the Holy Spirit. You understand? If they are saved. Now, that's kind of jumping ahead, but let's find out exactly what tongues is and is not and all of that. Tongues. What are tongues? What do tongues mean? If I say that English is my native tongue, what am I saying? English is my native
language.
If I say that I went to another country and I couldn't understand what they were speaking because they were speaking in a foreign tongue, what am I saying? They speak in a foreign
language.
Okay, so tongues obviously means languages. Don't make it mean something more than what the simple word means. It means languages. Tongues means languages. Recently, I was teaching something about tongues, and somebody, not here, somewhere else, somebody was very eager to share their testimony and experience about how they were visiting a church here in Hawaii and they heard somebody speaking in tongues. And he began to, he didn't know what I was going to teach, and he talked about the experience and this person speaking in tongues and how he thought it was so exciting and everything. And I asked him, I said, this woman that you said was speaking in tongues, what languages was she speaking? And he said, well, it was tongues. And I said, I know, but what language was it? Tongues. She was speaking in tongues. Well, tongues means languages. See, and so the charismatic movement and these churches that place an emphasis on tongues and everything, they teach that speaking in tongues, and that, you know, the reason why he answered the way he did is because they teach that speaking in tongues is not earthly languages. They teach that it's this heavenly prayer language that nobody else on earth speaks, that God or the Holy Spirit gives you this language or speaks it through you, and it's this heavenly supernatural language that cannot be found anywhere on earth outside the walls of charismatic church. That's basically what they teach. Now, let's see what the Bible says, okay? Because in the Bible, speaking in tongues refers to the supernatural ability. There is a supernatural element about it, the supernatural ability to speak a foreign language. The language itself is not supernatural. The ability to speak this foreign language is what is supernatural. So go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, by the way, in Acts chapter 2, this is the very first time in the Bible that somebody spoke in tongues, or at least the gift of tongues. The Bible says that it is a gift of tongues. Elsewhere it calls it a sign. And so in Acts chapter 2, there was a supernatural event here at the day of Pentecost. And let's begin reading at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost, which is a Jewish feast day, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. So it looks like there's a visible manifestation of this. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is supernaturally giving them the ability to speak other languages. All right? Verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in a supernatural prayer language that he could not understand. No, it does not say that. In his own language. Okay. That's an earthly language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, our own language, wherein we were born? And he lists all of these different countries of where these people were from, and they had different languages and dialects from these different areas. And in verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, not a supernatural prayer language from heaven, not tongues of angels. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So we see the first time in the Bible that anybody ever spoke in tongues, clearly we see that it was an earthly foreign language. Now, speaking in tongues is considered a sign, okay? Look at Mark chapter 16. Now, Jesus prophesied of this, that they would speak in tongues, but there were some other things that were also going to take place, which were called signs. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs, notice it doesn't say a gift, although in other parts of the Bible it is called a gift, but it's also called a sign. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So tongues are called a sign as well as a gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we would call this a sign gift. Now, what is the purpose of tongues? If you ask the average person who endorses speaking in tongues, like they do today with this modern tongues movement, where they don't think it's an earthly foreign language, they think that it's a heavenly prayer language, and they teach about speaking in tongues and how you should desire to have the gift of tongues, and tongues is so wonderful. If you ask the average person who has that view, what are tongues for? What is the purpose of tongues? The common answer would be, tongues are to enrich and enhance the spiritual life of the Christian. Tongues are meant to edify you. Tongues are a way that the Holy Spirit ministers to you and enhances the Christian life and causes you to grow and bear fruit or something like that. And so they would say something along the lines of, it is something to benefit you. That's the common answer. By the way, just as a disclaimer, I was raised in churches where people spoke in tongues regularly. So some of these things that I say, I have firsthand knowledge of as a eyewitness. I'm not somebody from the outside looking in with these critical lens. I perhaps have, I just say perhaps because I don't know everybody's background here, but I perhaps have witnessed firsthand people speaking in tongues perhaps more than anybody else in this room. Perhaps. It's a possibility. Because I was raised as a child and in my teen years, every single Sunday, going to these churches where not only did people speak in tongues, but some people claimed to have visions, and people were falling on the floor, which they called being slain in the spirit. And I've actually had people try to push me down, call me up during the prayer line or whatever, and put their hand on me and give me the little nudge of encouragement so I would fall down. And I've seen some wild stuff. And I never one time during all those years thought that it was genuine. Not once. I was always skeptical. And I had no knowledge of the Bible, of what the Bible said about these things. But just from what I experienced and saw and heard, I was very, very, very skeptical. And then when I finally studied the Bible and heard different teachings and things and came to the conclusion of what I'm showing you today, it was just like night and day. It was like, compared what I saw to what the Bible says, you know, the Bible is so clear on this.
Yeah.
Bible's so clear on this. Okay? Now, what does the Bible say the purpose of tongues is? What does the Bible say tongues are for? Let's go find out. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Shouldn't that be one of our starting points to find out what tongues are for? If we're going to see, if somebody is going to, not just us, but anybody, if somebody is going to emphasize tongues and try to say that all believers should speak in tongues and all of these things, shouldn't they at least know what the Bible says that tongues are for? What is the purpose of tongues? Let's go and see. It says very clearly in 1 Corinthians 14:22, wherefore tongues are for what? Tongues are for what?
A sign.
A sign. Tongues are for a sign. In Mark chapter 16, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Tongues are for a sign. Let's keep reading. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. unbelievers. Tongues are for a sign for unbelievers, not Christians. People who are lost. People who are not saved. Unbelievers. Isn't that strange? That just about every church that endorses and emphasizes tongues, they are speaking tongues in a church full of supposed believers? When tongues are a sign for unbelievers? Huh. Interesting, isn't it? Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1:22. Who are the signs for? We saw unbelievers. Let's look at something else. Same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require what?
Sign.
Huh. And tongues are a sign, right? And the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews require a sign. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe not. I mean, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And the Jews require a sign. Isn't that interesting? Okay, I'm starting to see a pattern here. Let's put two and two together. Let's connect the dots. And I would say that the Bible, to me, looks pretty clear on this. The purpose of tongues was a sign to unbelieving Jews. That was the purpose of signs. In other words, when somebody was given the gift of tongues by the Holy Spirit, it was a sign, it was evidence that what the person was saying was from God. It was something to convince them. You know, they didn't have the complete New Testament written at this time. When they started speaking in tongues in the book of Acts, there was not any of the New Testament written, as far as I know. So all they have is the Old Testament. Now they're preaching Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, and they're saying, this was your Messiah, and you crucified him, and he's the one that the Old Testament prophesied of, and all of these things. And so the Holy Spirit gives these men this supernatural ability as evidence to convince their audience that what they're saying is true. Let's look at something else. There are only three recorded instances of people speaking in tongues in the Bible. Did you know that? As much as we hear people emphasizing tongues, you would think that people were speaking tongues all over the Bible, but they weren't. There's only three recorded instances of somebody speaking in tongues in the Bible. And that's in Acts chapter 2, that's in Acts chapter 10, and that's Acts chapter 19. And did you know that in every instance of those three, that there were Jews who were present? Why? Because the Jews require a sign, and tongues are for a sign. Isn't that interesting? Go to Acts chapter 2, since we were already there. Let me just show you real quickly. Acts chapter 2, it's a Jewish feast day. It's Pentecost. And in Acts chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye men that dwell at Jerusalem. Look at verse 22. Ye men of Israel. Hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. The Jews require a sign. You see that? So it's a Jewish audience. We can look at the other places, but we're not for sake of time. But in Acts chapter 10, the house of Cornelius, tongues were spoken to convince the Jews that the Gentiles could also receive the Holy Spirit just like them. Acts chapter 19, they were Jewish converts of John that they were not caught up with the progressive revelation of the resurrection of Christ and things like that. And so we see three times Jews are there. The Jews require a sign. Now, what about the Corinthians? Isn't it true that the Corinthians spoke in tongues? Yes, it is true. And why did the Corinthians speak in tongues? Because isn't the church of Corinth primarily a Gentile church? Wasn't Paul called the apostle of the Gentiles? That is true. So why if the tongues are a sign and the Jews require a sign, if what I'm teaching is true that the tongues were a sign for Jews, unbelieving Jews especially, what's going on at Corinth? Well, did you know that it is true that Corinth was primarily a Gentile city? There were also a significant number of Jews in Corinth. Go to Acts chapter 18. I'm going to show you. Oh, wait. Some people see. Look, it says only language. It's an unknown. It's unknown. If this no, which would be any foreign language, because I don't speak any foreign from certain languages. But if somebody is speaking, that is an unknown tongue. I don't know it. So he says, if any man or the most by that would yes, tongue, let it be by two. Two would be, but definitely no. And that people doing that by course, okay? And imagine if you had two. They asked before. Sure, I want to give. I know I had an answer I've heard about. Did you know nearly they violate churches single time? In fact, let's look at something at verse 34. For it is not permitted, but mandated to be under obedience, as also saith Paul. And if they will learn anything, let their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in church. The whole of 1 Corinthians 14 is tongues and for context. It may sound to me speaking in tongues, and Paul is saying church should not be speaking of authority and all of that. And the bishop is supposed to be the husband of the pattern in the Bible that a teacher or a preacher or somebody. He's exercising authority in a sense, women that over other men. The women should not be teaching men that they could. Okay? And so, if I put all the context of here, I would really conclude one of the rules for. Now, from my experience, and go on YouTube and look at sampled crazy, and some churches, it's just not tongue. To the point in this town, laughing and barking like dogs, like they're demon possessed, it's the Holy Spirit in the Spirit, and it just gets really, really bizarre. I'm not talking about some snake handling in the Appalachian Mountains. I'm talking mainstream, big churches in big cities with people that are seemingly educated and dressed nicely and view it equal. That's what I'm talking about. There are churches that. Now, to be fair, I'm not saying that that endorsing in tongues goes to that extent into like a circus. Yeah. There's different all kinds, so I don't want to paint them all the same brush. Every that I have been, Assad and all of these other denominational charismatic, and every been in where people spoke in tongues and it was being enforced by the pastor and the every church that I have been in tongues, it's that in more than three people, in fact, it was, you can go on see a pastor where he said, how many of you have the gift of tongues? A church of like 500 people. He says, size your gift, speak tongues, and 500 times. One at a time. It happens. Churches where they tell everybody, speak in tongues, and if you don't have tongues, then just get into the, and the Holy speak through you and start speaking tongues, and they'll say, they'll try to coach you and teach you how to supposedly tongues, and they'll say, just say anything, children, just mum say anything and blowing. I'm interpreted. Being interpreted is usually, that's an exception. That's not the rule. I mean, the rule of the Bible. But they don't do it. I wonder why. I know why. I think because it's not real, that's why. It's not an earthly foreign language. Now, I don't know any earthly foreign language. You know, you can tell when somebody's speaking another language, and even if you don't understand the language, that it is an earth foreign language. My experience, most of the people in tongues, the women outnumber the men. So why don't they follow the rules of the Bible if they're so in endorsing tongues? And some of the teachings that get from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, why don't they follow in the Bible? That's appointed some of the people who believe and speak what they've done. They preach not even there and they say, Well, but I was at the church and convinced that their experience is genuine. And they make this the final instead of God's word. And if something goes in their experience, they will use their instead of God's word. Pretend like, oh, that was just unique, particular instance, and that was only the church at Corinth. But today, it's different. Or there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit or something like that. And they basically just pretend that I showed them. They can't really have a rational discussion about what the Bible says about tongues, because they are convinced that what they experienced, that they have some sort of gift. And what it will be, they say that tongues them feel closer to God. Or it makes them feel like they are having experience. Feel that you put an emphasis on your feelings as opposed to what it says. You are in a very dangerous position.
Right.
Because feelings come and go. Feelings are fickle. Feelings should never, ever be the determinator of what spiritual truth is. That's how the cults recruit people. Feelings. 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 Feelings are very deceiving. Modern tongues advocate that the purpose of tongues is to edify the spiritual life of the one speaking in tongues. That
tongues is a thing to unbelieving Jews.
The Bible says that in the church in tongues all that you're crazy. Yes, I've ever heard church multitude. Didn't know anything? Heard of any church? I heard that because of my background and knowledge of these churches. I would say, yeah, there they go. But let's say that there's somebody heard anything about tongues. They're not a Christian. They're thinking, you know, I think I want to go to church in my life or whatever, or for whatever reason. People have different reasons, unbelief. They get interested and say, oh, there's this church. There's this big church. My coworker goes there, or there's I drive by. Honey, maybe we church, you know. I think they can use the, whatever people have there for visiting a church, and they go in, hundreds of people. Like, what in the world is this? These people. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 4, that's what Paul told the Corinthians. In tongues at the same time, won't people say, will? So, what about today? What about saying, oh, this, we speak foreign languages. The Bible said that these are the rules. So we want to obey all that the Holy Spirit, all that some people do have, all that the Holy Spirit would give of tongues to man. Well, is it possible? The Holy, some churches that maybe things, and they do it, and they these rules. Could that happen in this? Just that people don't understand about tongues, but if they really have the true understanding of tongues, and my position and our church's position on the tongues, even if it practiced to a T, the Bible says the God is no longer using the gift, no longer in operation. Now some people would say, oh, there you go, use what you want from the Bible to match your own tongue. Tongues are for us a sign, correct? The reason why God gave signs was for the dispensationally, okay? In Christ's early, he said, when you know, you preach the gospel of... That's not the same gospel that Paul preached.
Right.
It was a Jewish gospel announcing Jesus as the Messiah and as a king and the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you know what the disciples... Go to the Gentiles. Don't even the Samaritans, who were part Jew. He only go to the lost Israel. And when you go, this, and when you go, he said, you do this, you lay hands, and you do this, when you're preaching to Jews, he gave signs because the Jews require a sign. The apostles had signs associated with their early ministry because the focus was Israel. Jesus rose from the dead, he said, all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Jews and Gentiles. When you read the book of Acts, you see early Acts, the focus is still primarily Israel. Acts chapter 2, men of house, a Jewish feast day, Jews. As you keep reading the book, you see that as the gospel that the apostles preaching, the focus changes from Gentile, Israel. You read in Romans, it's been temporarily set aside. Focus is Israel, not Gentiles. So I believe that the sign that God gave the apostles, as in So, their purpose. Their purpose was Israel. Today, now let me give you a reason why I believe it. Tongues were not the sign that they were given. You know one of the signs we need? Well, there were never anybody from the dead somewhere. Come on. With cell phones and you all of this, you telling me that can do? How come not raising people from the dead? They can't. Because God's not giving abilities. Those things were signs.
Right.
And the signs, the Jews, we were a sign. You see, when you put it, it makes so much sense. When you adopt the modern teaching, all these signs and all of these things are still there for us, then you're left with a lot of unanswered questions. And then you have to read some other silly, well, they didn't have enough faith. That's why they didn't get healed. They didn't have anything. Well, how much faith does a dead man have? Notice every time he's healed of something, crusades, it's always something that you cannot see internal. What is here? Something you can't see. You just have to take their... Oh, I can't see. I can't... Let's get some of these soldiers from our... that got a limb blown off and have them back.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't do that in the bus. They did. Jesus put a guy back on after Peter cut it off. So, to me, I mean, this perfect sense. So, I hope that has cleared up maybe some... And giving you some understanding about tongues, what is and why we don't speak it's okay. And you say, what about all these people? Are you telling me that they're all faking it? I would say that some people who they actually believe that they are speaking from God. I'm not saying that it is from God. I'm saying they believe it. I believe in coerced and a lot of logical, and they see other people. They're even taught this, and they want to speak in tongues. They want to have this experience from the Holy Spirit, and they, in their, they're doing this all. They just get caught up in the with their emotions and the atmosphere, and somebody say just start mumbling stuff, and they start praying, and then all they're emotional, and then it start mumbling these things. I think some people are they sincerely believe that what is really from God. But I believe that they're just deceived. And then other people believe that they are genuinely. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. Let's faith. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord God, thank you for this teaching things and help us to be able to rightly divide the truth from error. And I pray that if you remember what the Word of God said, that what is true and what is